Oh, it's been a long day, Sally Lucas. Oh,
it's been a long week, I reckon. I only drove back from Sydney this morning, so I'm still tired.
I've been going since this morning, so I don't know what time it is. I apologise for that.
That's all right.
Now, where are we going today? What's happening?
Well, we're going to trending cities, if you like, top five trending cities, what we call second cities. Like if you're getting sick of going to the big, we've been going through a bit of this lately, you know, how you can go somewhere else as an alternative.
Yep.
And also some new ports that some of the ships are going into that they haven't been into before, which is opening up, again, a wider cruise market. So lots of little new bits and bobs.
Excellent. Well, we will get to those very shortly on 2NURFM. Ports. And I'm not talking about the drink.
No. Nothing like a nice port on a cold winter's night. No.
Sorry, you don't put nice and port together.
Don't you?
No.
You haven't drunk a decent one.
I don't know. Anyway.
No. Horses for courses, yes. As they say. Exactly right. Yeah, just going to talk about some ports that are going to be new on a range of cruising itineraries. Not till 26, 27, but that's okay. Things book out so far ahead these days that planning is a good thing, and the Viking have recently announced 10 new voyages visiting new ports throughout Scandinavia, the British Isles and the Mediterranean. So just thought we'd mention some of the ones that they're going to be calling into, if you're interested. Now, one is Palma de Mallorca in Spain, which is just a beautiful island in Spain, which is just stunning. And they've got lots of civilizations and remnants of past civilizations, which of course Europe has in abundance anyway, just about every corner you turn. Also, there's a famous cathedral, a massive cathedral in Palma that was built over the top of a mosque. You know, it's funny how they did things like that. Well, you think about Paris, the city we know now, the island of Ile de la Cité, there's a city beneath the original city of Paris.
Yeah.
And they built on top.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's just hard to think of, isn't it, or hard to imagine. So there's another palace called the Almudena, which is originally constructed as an Arabian fort. And also Frederick Chopin, the famous composer, spent the winter of 1838 there writing some of his best works because it was such a tranquil setting.
Oh, lovely.
So it's a beautiful part. Another one is Riga in Latvia. And, of course, it is the largest and most cosmopolitan of the Baltic capitals. And again, here you've got so much medieval and past history in some of these Baltic states that we don't think about as much. We all go to the Central Europe and forget there are these other pieces on the extremities of Central Europe that have got just as much history and just as much interest. We just don't think to go to them because I guess they're not promoted as much.
Mm.
So
they are today.
They are being today, yes. So it's sort of where you've got, I guess, they say it's an architecture lover's dream to go there because they've got all these Gothic spires and domes, ancient churches, narrow cobblestone streets. The old town is UNESCO listed as well. And you've got, in the new section, you've got these wonderful new Art Nouveau buildings, which are totally different. So you've got a mix of the old and the new, which is just wonderful. Talking to someone last night, just digressing, and we were talking about where we'd been to in Europe and what we loved. And we happened to mention that Germany, and this gentleman said Munich. And I said, oh, yeah, Munich. I said, the old quarter of Munich. He says, oh. He said, I just love it. He said, I could go back there time and time again. And I said, yeah. And I said, I hadn't realised before, I hadn't been till I went this particular time into that, spent a lot of time in Bavaria. And Bavaria and Germany, in general, is such a beautiful part of Germany, you know. And again, people go to Berlin or, you know, Frankfurt and so on, and the Black Forest and Heidelberg. But Munich is a gorgeous city.
I went
city.
To Munich and I really enjoyed Munich
And it's
as
not
well.
A big city. You know, so again, it's a smaller city and it's great food and all of that.
And really, the people were lovely.
Yes. We're digressing. That's not one of the new ones.
Sorry.
But anyway, it's not a port. It's landlocked. The other one is Aarhus, which is in Denmark, and that's located on what they call the Jutland area of Denmark on the eastern coast. And it's actually Denmark's second largest city and one of the country's oldest cities, with roots dating back to an 8th century Viking settlement. So again, you're just going to see so much history. It was a centre for trade and it prospered during the Middle Ages. So now it's a bustling port and a centre for commerce and industry. But you've got in the old town, again, a repository of medieval, you know, landmarks, centuries old timber houses still standing, you know, beautiful old timber houses. And again, a wonderful cathedral. Another place is Klaipėda in Lithuania. It's the third largest in there, and it's part of what they call the Prussian Kingdom, because there was Prussia as as well as Russia back in the day, until 1923 when it won its autonomy. And so it's divided by the Dane River, which flows through the city into the Baltic Sea. And again, we've got this historic old town, again with your cobblestone streets, your German sort of timbered houses again, street art. They've got a tree-lined promenades filled with cafes. You know, so these places are just so interesting, and they're places we haven't been to, or not many of us have been to. The other one is in Sweden. It's called Karlskrona, and it was founded by Charles XI in 1860. So it's a really interesting part as well. It's a base for the Swedish Navy, and its port was awarded a UNESCO World Heritage in 1998. Wonderful naval museum there that showcases the port's history. And it's got a fortress there, which is the world's oldest fort, still in operation today. And luckily, last but not least, you've got Limerick in Ireland.
Oh, Limerick. I like Limerick.
And it's Foynes, I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, F-O-Y-N-E-S, and it's on the Emerald Isle's stunning west coast, and it sits along an estuary of the picturesque River Shannon, and it's also rich with maritime and aviation history, because the world's first transatlantic flights operated from there between 1939 and 1945, and it was also the last port of call for seaplanes that used to make transatlantic crossings, which led it to become one of the largest civilian airports in Europe during the Second World War, which I must admit, I didn't know that either. Mm. And, of course, you add to that your famous Irish whiskey or your Irish coffee and lots of other things as well. So you could immerse yourself. Four-leaf clovers and, yeah, all of the above. So, yeah, just some a few of the interesting places that are being included as part of, anyway, Viking's cruise itineraries for 26 and 27. Sounds so you're fantastic. Really going to see something a little bit different.
Excellent. Well, next we'll get on to secondary cities.
Second cities. You might like to go to swap one for another. We were talking about, you know, as earlier, new ports or parts of the world we can go to that have not been on our agenda maybe, and I think it's nice to include those. It is a big world out there, and there's a lot we haven't seen of it, I can tell you that. Mm. In all my years of travel, I still feel I haven't seen hardly anything, you know, because the world has opened up so much over the last 30, 40 years. Like, you know, we were so restricted to some countries, we couldn't get in, couldn't get visas, etc., etc. So we have certainly got a lot more of the world to explore. So we don't have to keep going back to the same. You can go and try something different, you know. Go outside that little square you've got yourself boxed in.
Exactly.
You know? Anyway, what we're saying here is we're calling it second cities. So instead of going to some of the major cities, swap it for somewhere else that you maybe haven't been. So instead of, for example, Lisbon, let's use that as the capital of Portugal. And I do love Lisbon. It's lovely. But you could swap it by going, say, to Palermo in Sicily, because you hadn't been to Sicily. And think, well, I have been to Portugal, so why don't I swap that? I won't go to that city this time. I'll go and discover something else. And the thing with Sicily is it's got such an interesting blend of Arab and Norman and Mediterranean. And again, you've just got so many different vistas when you're travelling around Sicily that are just so fascinating. So that's one. And there's many hidden treasures there, but one of them is supposed to be, this is an interesting one, hidden in a castle called the Zisa, Z-I-S-A castle. Apparently it belonged to a couple of young lovers who entrusted the devils to protect it, and this treasure, and it is, there is a fresco inside depicting so many devils that makes them impossible to count, but it's said that the person who can count them all will find the treasure. So you can go in there and count the devils.
Oh, wow.
And see if you can find the treasure. Don't think anyone has so far. Now, the other one, of course, we all know Santorini. It's such a busy port. Everyone goes to Santorini, and it gets so busy, particularly in the summer months. So swap it for Kotor in Montenegro. Now, Montenegro, again, that beautiful coastline that goes all the way around all those areas of Croatia, etc. It's just stunning. Like, all of that coast, when it was once all part of Yugoslavia till it broke up into different countries, was considered the most beautiful country in Europe, because it had everything from your coast to your beautiful inland lakes, your waterfalls, your mountains, your history, your buildings. So again, swap it. You can go to somewhat still a UNESCO old town, walk ancient city walls, hidden bays, lots of lovely, quieter atmosphere than you'd get in Santorini by a long way, you know. So that's another swap you could do. Another one is Amsterdam. And, of course, people in Amsterdam, Barcelona, Venice, those major cities, the locals have all been whinging, if you like, complaining that they're getting too many tourists and they'd love it to get back to being less. So don't go there. Go to Bilbao in Spain. And that's really incredible as well. It's right on a river there, and you've got the wonderful Guggenheim Museum, which it's famous for, and they have in this incredible Basque cuisine, and that's lovely equivalent of tapas. I can't remember how they pronounce it. Pinxtas, P-I-N-X-T-A-S or something like that, but those little morsels that you can sit around a bar and have and eat. And again, it's just right on the coast and on a river. Beautiful place to visit. So just somewhere else you might like to think of that's, you know, a little bit different. Mm. And also there is a little list here that was considered by a particular cruising company to be top trending cities this year. Now, one of them was Tromsø in Norway. Oh, my God, when we pulled in there, it is stunning because you're right up the top of Norway. I mean, it's got dramatic mountains and snow all around it, and it is just beautiful. And of course, you can go and ride in a sleigh if you're there at the right time of the year, pulled by reindeer, meet the local Sami people, take a snowshoe hike, and of course, don't forget the right time of the year, Aurora Borealis. So you've got that. So that's another time. So yes, the another one is that they're saying is Ephesus in Turkey. That is stunning. If you've never been to Ephesus, it is where they are still excavating and still preserving this ancient city of Ephesus. It was once on the water, but now it's a couple of k's inland. That's how their lands have changed over the years. But the one main building that is just so stunning is the library, this incredible biblioteca or library, and it's almost restored. It's just the most beautiful looking building, and of course it dates back to the 10th century BC, which is, it's part of one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. You've got the famous Temple of Artemis, which is there, and as I said, it's just so fascinating. They had even a sewage system that you couldn't believe when it goes back that far, that they were so advanced. You know, those cultures back then, and we regressed over quite a period of time before we moved forward again. Like the engineering feats that were accomplished back then with simple tools, you know, the basics of life, really, when you think about it. And yet they still lived a very good life. But that is the most incredible archaeological dig that you'll ever go to. It's just mind-blowing. So that's just a couple of things you could think about.
Wow, that's a lot of things I'm thinking about right now. And we've got hot deals.
We have, and it's a coolish sort of day today, so it's nice to think about some hot deals.
I don't know, I always have hot flushes, so I...
That could have something to do with your age.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying what that is. With Aurora Expeditions, if you book your next Arctic adventure, or your first Arctic adventure, should I say, even before the 31st of March, you can save an additional $3,000 air credit per person, plus up to 20% off a range of their Arctic expeditions for the rest of this year, subject to availability. So that's pretty good damn discount.
Mm.
It really is. Highlights of South America, wonderful continent. If you've still got that on your agenda, this is a 20-day tour, so it's quite an incredible itinerary. It's going all the way from Santiago, it's starting, then across to Buenos Aires, the Iguazu Falls, which are just make Niagara look like a drop in a bucket.
Really?
And also Victoria Falls. Honestly, wow. Iguazu is just amazing, bordering three countries. You go to Rio, then you're going up into that wonderful area in Peru of Lake Titicaca, Cuzco, the Sacred Valley, Machu Picchu, Lima, of course, and home. It's a lovely 20-day itinerary. There are departures this year, July, August, and September. We have got savings of $500 per person on that as well, so keep that in mind until sold out. Also, there's a Mediterranean treasure. We were just talking about the coast there, and this is virtually doing a lot of what I just mentioned. So you're sailing from Venice and you're going all the way down that beautiful coastline through Croatia, through Montenegro, and you're going down all the way then into Greece, all the way through the Greek islands, and you finish up in Istanbul. Mediterranean Treasures, it's called, and I tell you what, this is a treasure of a cruise. It is absolutely a beautiful itinerary. It's 15 days, and you've got departures in June, July, and August still available at the moment for this year, till sold out. The June one has got a saving of $1,800 per person. The July one, believe it or not, $3,800 per person discount. And again, the August one, $1,800 per person. Mediterranean Treasures, that's with APT. Antarctica, we've talked Arctic now. They've got, this is, hasn't got a very long availability on it. Limited availability if you book by the 17th of March. This is with Aurora, Antarctica, Falklands and South Georgia. And they've knocked about $5,000 off the price of that for the 5th or the 26th of December departure. So that's worthwhile considering. Wendy Wu Tours, they run a range of wonderful tours throughout Asia. And they have a partner fly free, or solos can save 50% on airfares on selected 25 and 26 departures. Over 770 dates are on sale, covering China, Japan, Sri Lanka, Vietnam, India, you name it. Singapore, Borneo, the Mekong, etc. So they're good as well. And lastly, just one for Oz, those wonderful train trips we have going between Adelaide and Darwin, or vice versa, on the Ghan, or the GAN, should I say. It's not GAN, it's GAN. Afghan camels, GAN. Got to keep getting that in my head. It's GAN, not GAN. Save up to $1,400 per couple on a four-day itinerary. And there's another one that is more an all-inclusive, which is including some stops in Alice Springs and taking you out to Kings Canyon, out to Uluru and Katajuta. That's a lovely itinerary, that one as well, which is a nine-night and itinerary plus 2 nights on your train. And that one's got a saving on that as well. But all these have up to 1170 per couple, and the other one, the shorter one, 1400 per couple. Again, subject to availability, but you've got to book 6 months in advance.
Right.
Okay.
Well, lots to choose from there.
That's it.
That's all.
That's all, folks.
That's all. All right. Well, we'll catch you next week more talking travel. Thank you very much, Sally.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.